I am Jennifer Heiselman. I am the Infonet Manager here at the Authority, which is part of the research unit, and I also conduct research in victim service areas.
My name is Megan Alderden. I'm the Research Director for the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority.
What prompted you to do this report in the first place? How did you know that there was a need for transitional housing for women who have experienced domestic violence, or as you call it, intimate partner violence?
One of the things that we're going to be doing over the next couple of years is actually doing more types of victim service programs. Recently, the federal government actually increased the amount of funding made available to states under its Victims of Crime Act. And as part of that, that gives state agencies the ability to kind of pass on more federal funding to local communities for the purposes of expanding victim services. And as part of that, we are starting to look at different ways in which we can identify or different types of services that might be needed in the state. And so actually, the impetus for doing this particular report was after conversations with about previous analyses that were done about 3 years ago that indicated that transitional housing was a need that existed in Illinois. And so we decided we'd go ahead and start looking into this issue as we consider kind of possibly increasing funding in the different areas of victim services.
And so you're working to provide basically a place for women to stay who have been experiencing domestic violence. And the report also refers to it as intimate partner violence.
Yes.
Explain why you use that terminology and if there's a distinction.
Yes, actually there is a difference between intimate partner violence and domestic violence. Intimate partner violence is actually more specific. Domestic violence can include numerous different relationships between the victim and the perpetrator, so it can include some kind of caregiver within the home. So we use the term intimate partner violence simply because the research we were reviewing really focused mostly on that particular type of domestic relationship, and because those individuals are most likely the ones that are going to need some kind of transitional housing service. Not always, but that's generally speaking where most of the research is.
And the report cites what for some I'm sure is a shocking statistic, that more than 90% of women who are homeless have experienced severe physical or sexual abuse in their lifetimes. Tell us a little bit more about those findings.
Sure. There's been some research that has been looked at in terms of the relationship between domestic violence as well as sexual assault and the implications it has for survivors of those crimes. And really what they find is that sometimes women, in an attempt to escape abuse or escape the realities of sexual victimization, which is often at the hands of people that they know, they are forced into a situation in which they have to leave their home into a non-stable living environment that can include periodic episodes of homelessness.
And can you tell me more about your InfoNet data collection system, how it works, and some of the methodology? And it did show an increase in victims needing housing, right?
So let me pass that over to Jennifer because she's our InfoNet person.
I think the need is more identified from conversations with experts in the field, which include many of our grantees. But actually, yes, InfoNet data does show that many people have been turned away from shelter services because there's not that many beds in Illinois to provide to people in need of a safe place to stay. InfoNet, generally, it's a web-based data collection and reporting system used by 67 different domestic violence programs across Illinois. Not every domestic violence program uses InfoNet, but if they receive any type of state funding, including our agency or the Illinois Department of Human Services, they use InfoNet. If they're a member of the Illinois Coalition Against Domestic Violence, they will use the system. And we also have a few programs that don't receive funding from any of these organizations, but they, you know, we offer the InfoNet database to them for free. And it helps us have more complete data statewide, so we allow them to use InfoNet if they volunteer to do so. And they enter information about each individual victim that comes to their program and receives services. So they collect various demographic information, income, income sources, including what's in this report is what their needs are at the point of intake. And then programs also enter each individual service that they receive from these programs. So we have a pretty detailed history of every person that has received services from these programs and all the services they received. And all that information is entered without any client identifying information. So there's no names or any identifying information entered into the system. Each person is tracked using a unique identifier that only the service provider can link up to the actual person.
You're listening to Illinois Edition. I'm speaking with Megan Alderden and Jennifer Heiselman, two authors of the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority study looking at victims of domestic abuse and homelessness and other problems they face. And so how does the state's budget, or lack thereof for now, play into this? I'm sure the needs are always going to be there, but what about the resources, and are the resources affected by the lack of money coming to a lot of different social service programs from the state right now?
Certainly the lack of a state budget is having an impact. Many of these domestic violence programs rely heavily on state funding. However, the funds that we administer are federal, so that's not going to be impacted.
What are the factors that put these victims, especially women who have been experiencing domestic violence, they're trying to escape, what are the factors that make them at risk for being homeless?
Well, if they're unsafe in their relationship and they need to flee, I mean, that's, you know, if especially if they're dependent on their abuser financially, I mean, that's certainly going to be a factor. Megan's done some research on this, so I'll let her add to that.
A lot of women who experience domestic violence, intimate partner violence, actually are controlled by the individuals that they're living with, and that includes financial controls. And so sometimes those women are unable to support themselves when they leave that relationship. And so we see very commonly connections between kind of financial independence as well as employment and their ability to actually maintain and obtain financial housing stability. Also, there are cases in which women may not be aware, but the financial situation of the whole entire household was compromised, and so their inability to actually gain, let's say, a rental apartment because their intimate partner had claimed bankruptcy and it has affected their credit scores. These can all be things that can result in their inability to maintain housing.
But
that's right. Yes, and so in addition to that, there is isolation that women often experience as part of intimate partner violence that results in their inability to kind of rely on others outside of the home to support them. So they may have been isolated from friends. They may have been isolated from family members. In addition, they also may have, you know, other kind of trauma-related issues that prevent them from being able to maintain stable employment. So they might have PTSD. They might be depressed. They might have other well-being issues that can be all connected to this issue.
So you've done this study looking at the problems. I'm wondering what programs that are there to support survivors of domestic violence, what programs already exist in the state that could be expanded upon, or is there a need for the creation of new ones?
I think both would be ideal. You know, one barrier to housing, providing housing as a resource, is despite it being a basic need, it is probably the most expensive type of service to provide victims. So it's just a hard resource for nonprofit programs to provide. And currently, I want to say in the city of Chicago, there is only about 150 beds available in a particular night. And the only reason we even have that now is because the Wings Metro recently opened just a few months ago. Prior to that, it was barely over 100 beds, and that's not very many when you consider the number of people in domestic violence situations. We also know that thousands of people are turned away from shelter every year because there's a lack of bed space. So getting back to your question, Yes, I think expanding existing programs to include this resource more and new programs can be founded and developed to meet this need, that would be even better.